one of the problems that the world has is they don't focus on God. Maybe they don't believe in God. Another problem that people have is that when they should be focusing on God, they're not. There was a preacher one time who said a woman came to him and she said to him, "Preacher, I'm leaving this congregation." And he said, "Ma'am, why?" And she says, "When I was here, even this morning, you look over there, there's somebody on their cell phone. And look over here, there's some people there chattering and talking amongst themselves. And I look, and oftentimes even something I hear from the pulpit I don't agree with. And so I'm leaving this place." And the preacher said, "Well, ma'am, can I ask you to do one thing for me before you leave?" And she said, "Yes, sir." And so he filled up a glass full to the top with water and he asked her to walk around the auditorium three times without spilling the water. And so she said, "Sure." And she walked around the auditorium three times being very careful. She didn't spill any water. And he came back to her. She came back to him and he said, "Did you spill any water?" "No." And he said, "Let me ask you a question. Did you see those people texting over there and talking, fiddling with their cell phone?" She said, "No." "Did you see the people over here who were chattering and talking among themselves?" "No." Were you bothered by anything else that you heard?" "No." "Why not?" "Because I was focusing on the water. I didn't want to spill anything." And he said, "When you're in the worship service, you focus on God, not on the people around you." And the bottom line is that we make decisions what's right and wrong based on what God had to say. It has nothing to do with the people around us. And so we want to talk today of doing all things in the name of the Lord. I received a letter 2 weeks ago from a man that I really care about, somebody that I've studied with and then hope one day he'll obey the gospel. And I was honored to receive that letter. And in that letter, what he wrote to me, a question. He said, "What do you think Jesus would do if he walked the earth today about this unbiblical, hellish practice of Christmas? What would he do?" Well, I thought about that, and the bottom line is Jesus is never going to walk on this earth, and I can't tell you what Jesus would do. I know that he rebuked Pharisees and other people for bringing practices into the Judaism religion, and he would rebuke us for bringing any kind of practice into Christianity. But I did think about this, and I decided, let's go ahead and just search the Scriptures today, and let's find out what the Bible says about Christmas. I hope you're getting the point. The Bible doesn't say anything about Christmas, does it? It doesn't say anything about the practice, a religious practice of Christmas, remembering the birth of Jesus. It says nothing about that in a religious sense. And I've never actually, honestly, you know, this gentleman believed that he was a member of the church, and yet he knows a lot of people, quote unquote, in his church that practice Christmas as Jesus the reason for the season. But I've never met a Christian that does that. And I'm not saying that there aren't, but I have never personally talked with a Christian who believes that Jesus is the reason for the season. My friend Paul said that "I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourselves in the household of God." It's the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And we may not always like the truth, and we may be like that lady and need to pick up a glass full of water sometimes and forget about ourselves and other people around us and focus on the Word of God. And so in the Lord's church, there really is no such practice as Christmas. Nothing. It's not in there. And so we want to go on here and find out what exactly is the problem. When we try to explain to a person that does not accept the Word of God as the final authority, and things that are written in the Bible that apply to the church and to God's people, and to have a holy day called Christmas, it's just simply not there. And it's a daunting task to convince somebody, especially people that are built and established their lives around a religious institution made by man that does such things as having Christmas Eve candlelight services and Easter Sundays and of course practicing Christmas. But this is exactly the problem. Insinuating that we have to say at all, that we have a say at all. In other words, we say things like, you know, I want it done my way instead of His way. But we really do need instead to just simply focus on God's way. Proverbs chapter 3 that was read this morning in your hearing. The scripture in verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. You know, the development of many of the holidays, whether they're focused on religion or not, are just institutions or things created in man's own eyes. And so we need to close our eyes off to these things and focus entirely on God's Word. It's not really hard to distinguish one day which the Lord permits the church to observe from the many days that are not authorized in the Scriptures. You know, in the book of Galatians, referring to religious practice of Old Testament festivals and days, the Apostle Paul, he did say that they were adding days and months and seasons, and it caused Paul to say to himself, I am afraid of you. And Christians, along with many of the man-made holidays, they can't be found in the Scriptures. We need to not be in a position where God, or even our, among ourselves, we say things like, I'm afraid of you. You're bringing things in that ought not be there. The bottom line for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, like the song that we sang earlier, is that we must always be swift to say what says the Scriptures in every case about anything that is presented to us. Holy days or holidays. Before we move on, let's make something perfectly clear. I don't see a holiday or something that's accustomed by man as evil. And in the man's question to me, he referred to it as a holistic, you know, evil holiday. And I don't see that. In itself, all in itself, the practice of Santa Claus and a Christmas tree has no foundation, error in Scripture. There's nothing wrong with a secular holiday. And so let's make that very, very clear. A holiday that's appointed by the government, a custom of people, events, seasons, and things that give kids days off from school and some people days off from work. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as it doesn't cross over into the practice of the church. If we don't start proclaiming it as a practice of the church or something that we have authority for, as long as the practice does not imply that it's from God, to say or even imply that Jesus is the reason for the season would simply be practicing sin. From the first day of the church to this very single day, there is nothing said about a holy day set apart to remember the birth of Christ. So nothing except for the Scriptures talk about specific days of worship for the church. But we're limited by what the Scripture says. In the Old Testament, you know, the Sabbath day was a day that had to be kept holy. You can read about that in Exodus chapter 20. verse 8, God commanded, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That was in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there were feast days. In Exodus 12, we read about the Passover feast of the unleavened bread. We read about the feast of the harvest and the weeks. We also read about the feast of the ingathering in Exodus chapter 34. And those were days that were of the Old Testament. They were required days, and they were considered holy days. But another day that God set apart in the Old Testament is, of course, the Day of Atonement. That day was set apart in the Old Testament. A day set apart specifically to remember that time in which God saved the people coming out of Egypt. So the Day of Atonement. So we don't want to feast today. We don't want a Day of Atonement in the church. All of these involve sacrifices. They all involve priests on behalf of the people sacrificing for all their sins once a year. Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 34. God gave the Jews a Sabbath day of the land. God named in the year of the Jubilee every 50 years where people would be called to proactively give back and cancel debts. And all of these days are set apart by God. They were ordered by God, patterned by God. And they were to be observed exactly as God commanded. In the law, Moses made man very conscious of what God wanted, what God's provisions were, of God's forgiveness. And they all ultimately pointed eventually to the great sacrifice of Jesus that brought in the age of the church. And once that church age was brought in, all of those practices are no longer a part of the faith. All these holidays, or holy days rather, they were ordered by God, they were patterned by God, and they were observed exactly as God commanded them. So nothing's changed as far as what we should do. We need to do exactly what God has commanded us. So the law of Moses made God made people conscious of God's provisions again and forgiveness, and it made us conscious of sin. So for the New Testament church, when we think Christ died, He removed the old law. When Christ died on that cross, Hebrews chapter 8 tells us that that old was taken away. He removed the old law. He nailing that old law to the cross. In Colossians 2, 14 through 17. Let's read that together. Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Beginning in verse 14, speaking of the death of Christ and so on, having wiped out the handwriting and the requirements, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, He, that is Jesus, has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and power, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you of food, drink, regarding festival or new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding on things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And when you read these things, we're seeing that Jesus nailed that Old Testament, that old covenant, to the cross. And he's taken it out of the way. And so we don't obey those old Sabbaths or the festivals or the feasts or the year of the Jubilee. Jesus obtained a more excellent ministry, Hebrews chapter 8. He's the mediator of a better covenant, is what we hear, that he may establish the second, that is the New Testament. So we're no longer under the old law. We are now under the new law, the law of Christ, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 21. Christ arose on the first day. And when He arose, He gave commandments before He ascended up into heaven. His church was established on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, where Peter got up and he preached that first sermon. And when that happened and those people believed and those 3,000 souls were baptized, the Bible tells us in Acts 2:47 that they were added to the body. Those who believed, and the church continued to grow. And so Christians met for worship the first day of the week, Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. And the Lord's Supper was remembered by the church each first day of the week, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And these are things that we're authorized to do. That's what we're authorized to remember. The things of God for the New Testament church and our worship include the singing and the prayers and the teaching and the giving and the Lord's Supper. We're here to remember His death, not His birth. And we are authorized to do that according to the Scriptures. On the first day, we give a portion of our financial needs, 1 Corinthians 16 and 2. In other words, we have authority for the giving to the work of the church. We teach His Word, we sing, we pray. Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Colossians 3:16, they sang songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. These are things that the church is authorized to do. But He gave only one day of worship. He only gave that one day, and that was the first day of the week. That is each Lord's Day, each Sunday. And so we need to take heed carefully of what Paul said in Galatians chapter 5. And in verse 1, he uses that word that's an amazing and powerful word, stand fast. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty of which Christ has made us free. See, we're free in that liberty. But he says, don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In other words, don't allow old things to come in and corrupt the new. And of course, we know that we can't add anything. What we do. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, take heed to yourselves that you are not ensnared to follow them. And that's the Old Testament following the ways of the Gentile world. And also he said, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, in 2 Corinthians. So in the same sense, we don't want to intermingle or mix something that's pure like the Lord's church and the practice of the church with things of the outside world. And I reiterate that when we think about things like Christmas, it's a time to educate people when you hear somebody say that Jesus is the reason for the season. I was going to put a slide up here. I took a picture last night when I was on the way to my gathering with my children to get gifts and so on. And there were pictures all up and down the street, signs that said that we celebrate Christmas with Jesus. And that's not true. And I'm sorry I didn't put that up for you. But such observances, things that are borrowed from Judaism, paganism, efforts to convert people, adopting false practices, all of those things, such as Christmas being a religious day, which actually started with the Catholic Church. When we you know, the name Christmas comes from the words Christ Mass, and it was in honor of His birth, not His death. And it was a relationship between the Catholic Church and the pagans who paid money in order to take communion on that one special day. And Constantine, he became the protector of the church, as the Catholics put it, and he added many pagan festivals and many ideas and religious observances, including Christmas, that are all rooted in paganism. And so we have no business bringing these things into the practice of the church. There is a plethora of denominations which are still doing this very thing. The Corner House Christian Church, I noticed, had a Passover Seder night. That's in March. I did study with a woman one time here in Bedford that told me she couldn't come to Wednesday night Bible study because there was a priest in the Catholic Church that was having a Passover Seder on that night. And so, you know, that's just outside of the authority. We read Deuteronomy chapter 12, in verses 29. We just can't allow pagan practices or borrow practices to come into the pure worship of the church. Paul teaches us that we don't compromise with error. The man of sin in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2 Timothy chapter 2 verses 3 and 4. We depart from the faith when we allow the man of sin to enter in. And so, you know, Paul did talk about observing days and months and times and years in Galatians chapter 4. But remember, that had to do with bringing something from outside inside to the practice of the church. And Paul did go on in Galatians chapter 4. He said that you observe, how is it that you again turn to the beggarly elements of which you desire to be in bondage? In other words, back to the things of Judaism or of paganism. He says, you observe days, months, and years, and I'm afraid of you. And so let's not be falling into that category. Yet many did, and they still continue to do so today. And they do things by bringing in the teaching of the world and making it a religious thing. There's a lot of holidays of men. December 13th, they added things like the Solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God, the 6 weeks of Easter, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. All these things are just added to where they shouldn't be added to. And so that becomes a real problem. The main thing to point out here is God didn't authorize any of these. And so when you practice something like Easter, Christmas, do so, but it is a secular thing. You know, it isn't about the birth of Christ. It's not about the Jesus being risen from the grave on an Easter Sunday. These things are not authorized. And so authorized, he didn't authorize. Receiving guidance from God's Word, that's the way. One of the ways in which we authorize or do things that are proper for practice. In other words, unauthorized holy day, it dishonors God. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, in verse 2, Moses told the people of Israel, don't add to or take from the commandments that I command you this day. And he goes on to say that you may keep the commandments of the Lord that I command you this day. In Revelation chapter 22, if you look at that in verse 18, I testify of everyone who hears the word of this prophecy, the book. If he adds to this thing, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, the prophecy of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life. How serious is it not to add something that isn't there? In 1 Kings chapter 12, in verse 32, and also in through 13:2, we read of Jeroboam, and he obtained ordained a feast that was not ordained or authorized by God himself, and we know the outcome. There is nothing good about adding something to God. What should our reaction be then when we think about this? What should our reaction be? You know, one of the marks of men outside of faith is that they pervert the gospel of Christ. And we should be able to defend the gospel of Christ in its pure form, to teach men to observe the day of the Lord and what all that entails. The church honors God, of course, by worshiping Him as He directed. That would be song and prayer and Bible teaching and practicing the remembering the Lord's death until He comes, and, of course, the offering. Secondly, we avoid compromise. We need to be careful not to be unequally yoked. In that context, it means that a Christian shouldn't bind himself to a non-Christian. In the same way, Christians shouldn't bind themselves to non-Christian practices. We need not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, but come out from among them, separate ourselves. Paul says, don't touch the unclean thing. We need to be loving and firmly reproving the practice in the church rather than having fellowship with them. And so we need to expose these things. Third, acknowledge God's authority over the church. And without innovation, we need to, there's civil rules and family practices and individual practices and social practices, but we remember things like the word of King Darius. If you remember when Daniel was brought up to him and alive, and he saw Daniel delivered from that lion's den, and he proclaimed to all men, he said they must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. And of course, that's the same God that we worship. For He is the living God and steadfast forever. Daniel chapter 6, verse 25. And so think of these things. All supplication, prayers, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all those who know authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives, is something that we all must do. Governments, family members, church, we can all thank God. We can thank God on the day of Thanksgiving. We can thank God even on tomorrow for all the blessings. But we can't make God a part of the thing called Christmas, the thing called Thanksgiving, the thing called Mother's Day, the thing called Father's Day, the thing called Easter. And we must remember the rule not to let our good be spoken evil of. Romans chapter 14 and in verse 16. Remember, we're the light of the world. And we're to let people know what the true Spirit of God is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul said, "These things we also speak, not in words which men's wisdom teach, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things." So probably one of the first questions we ask is it a spiritual thing? And if it's not a spiritual thing, then we can't practice that so in the church. And so we want to remember all together that the conscience, okay, our conscience, must be applied to the Spirit of God. Not our own conscience, not the conscience of others. Paul said that, you don't eat of meat that was sacrificed to idols because of you're worried about the conscience of other people, causing other people to stumble. And in the same manner, the church must not practice such a thing as Christmas as a religious part of the service, or even at home, because that indeed would be adding to God's perfect plan, and that would indeed make it sinful. But for a Christian to teach such things that Jesus is not the reason for the season, for a Christian to be the salt and the light of the world and to help people come along and find out what the real purpose of a Christian's life is, would be a wonderful thing. We need to be pure in spirit, keeping spiritual things with spiritual things. So, we're in the church. We observe holidays. And we're not in the church. We don't, when outside of the church, rather, the secular holidays and so on, they can't hurt you. You don't need to be afraid. This gentleman that wrote the letter to me, he seemed to be very afraid of Christmas and the practice of it. But we don't need to be afraid as long as we do things properly and in order. Perverting the gospel will never honor God. Adding holy days in honor of, or even it just dishonors God. Anything that we add to the practice of the church, obeying His word in all things, brings Him honor and glory. And we leave sin and error, of course, behind us by simply accepting the gospel of Christ. The real good news is that hearing God's word will lead to faith. And when our faith leads us to repent of our sins and we confess Him as the Son of the living God, Jesus, and we're immersed in the waters of baptism for the forgiveness of our sins because our sins are washed away by His blood, that's the real good news. We observe to learn all things as God has commanded us. to abstain from all things that would be offensive to God. In Matthew 28, in verse 18, all authority was given unto me in heaven and earth, Jesus said. So we listen to Jesus. And so let's just follow what God had planned for us as a church. And outside of the church, if we want to practice a holiday as a secular thing, then don't. It's not something evil that's going to destroy you. But don't add it where it doesn't belong. And of course, if we have made a mistake, we can confess our sins, and He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and we can be restored in that proper relationship with the Lord once again. And so the invitation's open today for anyone who has not been baptized into Christ. Today's the day. We invite you to come forward this day as we stand and as we sing.